It may seem like hyperbole to compare what is happening now to what happened in Europe during World War II. It's different, of course. We aren't being bombed, for example. But the threat to us all and the world in which we live is now just as great as it was in 1939 and the 1940s. In some ways, the threat is greater. Then we just had to beat a small bunch of deranged psychopaths. And we had the support and leadership of our governments. We had Winston Churchill. Today, in a bizarre turn, our enemies are our own governments. We're being manipulated, threatened, and punished by dictators. We're living in totalitarian states. We have no democracy and very little freedom of speech. We're fighting people who want to turn us into slaves. The plans of the United Nations and the World Economic Forum are worse than anything thought up by Hitler or Stalin. We're oppressed by individuals who are just as evil as any of those who slaughtered the innocent across Europe, laying the foundations for the development of the European Union. The EU, conceived by Nazis, built by Nazis, and now loved by Nazis, became the first step towards a world government, the first fascist superstate. It was quickly absorbed by the United Nations into the Agenda 21 plans. Today, the enemy doesn't wear jackboots or do the goose step, and this time we've elected and financed our own enemy. Our political leaders are the enemy. We're paying for our own oppressors. In New Zealand, concentration camps have been set up for the tiny number of people who've tested positive. They don't call them that, of course. I think they're holiday camps in Newspeak, or quarantine camps, maybe. We all have a number of choices, of course. The easy option is always to join the oppressors, to become collaborators, and that's what millions have done. They accept the lies about COVID-19 because they can't believe that their own political leaders would lie so much. They socially distance, they wear the masks, they put themselves under house arrest when ordered to do so. Some have probably even managed to convince themselves that the lies must be true. How could anyone lie so much? How could anyone be so totally incompetent as they say that nice Professor Ferguson is? And doesn't the BBC say that smiling Mr. Gates does a great deal for charity? Some people just keep quiet. They say and do nothing for fear of the consequences. They hope that the evil will pass, or that someone else will speak up and change things for them. And then there's us. There are always some difficult buggers who refuse to lie down and accept unjust and absurd laws. It happened in World War II. The resistance movement in France, for example, played a major part in defeating the Nazis. And today the resistance movement is all we've got. It's us. We're the resistance movement, and we're also missionaries to the truth deniers. And we're in a war. You know how if you bend a paperclip, you can never get it back to the way it was? Well, that's our political system. It's bent and it can't be mended. I've long distrusted the party system, and it's now clearer than ever that it doesn't work. Our political system, our administration, our local government, our healthcare systems, they're all rotten to the core, destroyed by unbridled ambition, greed, and the dead hand of the brainwashed, indoctrinated handmaidens of common purpose. We are watching firsthand as the few hundred pseudoscientists and crooks who run the climate change fraud are leading an assault on God, nature, and mankind. Nothing is as it used to be, nor as it seems to be. Everything is controlled from afar by people we can't see and over whom we have no control. In the United States and Europe, everything is controlled by lobbyists, tens of thousands of them spending billions a year and ensuring that the principles of Agenda 21, if we can call them principles, are introduced, adhered to, and thoroughly exploited by the rich and the mega-rich, cruising the world's seas in huge, self-contained super-yachts. Everywhere I look, there is deceit and manipulation. Nothing is what it appears to be. So, for example, it seems to me as though every position the World Health Organization has taken, based on the available scientific research, has been reversed. A couple of months ago, the World Health Organization thought that wearing masks was pointless and unnecessary. The available evidence said they were right. And then suddenly, without the evidence changing, the World Health Organization changed its minds and masks became mandatory. The only difference? Could it be that Bill Gates had become a major shareholder in the World Health Organization? The WHO? That's the pro-vax organization, not the rock band, by the way. Though the rock band would probably give better health advice. On the 28th of May 2020, Dr. Fauci, the American coronavirus supremo, announced that masks were little more than symbolic. They were derided as virtue signalling. And then, suddenly, there's Dr. Fauci standing next to President Trump and wearing a mask. In the UK, the government's medical advisers had dismissed masks as unnecessary. And then suddenly, for no apparent reason, the government changed its tiny collective mind, and anyone not wearing a mask suddenly became liable to a fine of up to £3,200. The odd figure, incidentally, came from a bizarre and unprecedented system whereby non-mask wearers would be fined £100 for an initial offence, with the fine doubling for each subsequent occasion. Incidentally, what's going to happen to the millions of dumped single-use masks? And how many people know that if you wash a cloth mask, it becomes more useless every time you wash it? And if you don't wash it, you're putting a cloth containing bacteria, fungi and viruses next to your mouth every time you put it on. Legionnaires is a real and lethal risk. What will happen when vaccines come in? Will those who refuse vaccination be forced to continue to wear a mask as a sign of shame? Perhaps they'll issue masks containing yellow stars, just to make the point. And why do so many people wear masks in the street when they don't have to? Just about all the pictures I saw recently of teenagers campaigning for better exam results showed them wearing masks when they didn't have to. Why? Were they stupid or were the photos staged? Mask enthusiasts often say that masks must be fine because surgeons wear them. This simply displays their ignorance. Not all surgeons do wear masks, because studies have shown that wearing them doesn't reduce infection. Moreover, surgeons usually work in air-conditioned, cooled operating theatres. They do their work standing or sitting, and they usually wear masks for relatively short periods of time. Terrorism, let me remind you, is, according to my definition, politics by intimidation, without any moral restrictions. And we're being terrorised by our own governments. Masks must be worn and pubs must be shut. Is this in homage to the new global religion, Chrislam? The Archbishop of Canterbury provided Christians with a short talk from his kitchen, but virtue signalled by shutting churches. What sort of leadership was that? There's no logic to anything anymore. Theatres are closed and will stay closed, though thespians and artists who behave will receive grants to buy their allegiance. If plays are performed, actors will have to respect social distancing rules, so no plays by Shakespeare will ever be performed again. There'll be no choirs and no opera. And yet we're allowed to climb into aeroplanes where the air is constantly recirculated, and whatever viruses one traveller has will inevitably be shared by everyone by the time the aeroplane lands. Racism is now so much a part of our lives that no one takes any notice, and if they do, they keep quiet about it. Biden, the Democratic presidential candidate in the United States, who at one point said, by the way, that 120 million Americans had been killed by COVID-19, announced that he would pick as his vice president a woman of colour. No one thought this sexist and racist, though it clearly was. Ironically, the woman he picked had apparently accused Biden of being a racist and of sexual assault. Says a good deal to me about opportunistic politicians that the two have, nevertheless, buried any principles they might have had and agreed to work with each other. Incidentally, Biden has supported just about every war America has started for 30 years. Politicians and advisers are now talking about our needing to wear masks and maintaining social distancing indefinitely. That's the sort of indefinitely which means forever, by the way. The collaborators, who are merrily wearing their fashion masks in the open air in countries where it is not a legal necessity to wear them in the open air, are going to kill humanity. I wonder how many people know that the phrase, if you're not with us, "You're against us" originated with Jesus Christ and not with George W. Bush. The mass of people have unwittingly joined a conspiracy against themselves. Never before have ordinary people been so cowed, so curiously deferential. Children are frightened because they don't know any better, but the adults who believe the crap they're being fed annoy me enormously. How can anyone who have got to adulthood without wanting to question the blatant lies we're currently being fed? The lies are grotesque, inexplicable, and indefensible. Those of you with a mischievous sense of humour might be amused by two of my early videos. One was called "New Law, Everyone Must Now Hop and Wear Galoshes," and the other one was "Everything You're Allowed to Know, But I Can't Tell You What About." Inspired by appalling policewoman Dick, who encouraged public shaming, the collaborators happily join their masters in demonising, monstering and abusing those who are too ill to wear a mask or brave enough to think for themselves. I still think the Dick woman should be arrested and charged with something. Inciting harassment, perhaps? If that isn't an offence, it should be. Millions who've never taken any interest in protecting themselves from heart disease or cancer now seem so desperately afraid of COVID-19, officially as harmless as the flu, let us not forget, that they've happily abandoned their freedom and their rights. Sweden proved that the lockdowns and the masks and the social distancing were all unnecessary, but those are facts, and facts are no longer popular. Millions of Britons have enjoyed a summer free of work on furlough paid by taxpayers. They've been enjoying themselves on their country's beaches, though I hope they observe the ruling that they should remain 6 foot 6 inches away from the lifeguards. So presumably any rescuing had to be done at an approved distance. I wonder if all those people will feel quite so jolly when they prepare to go back to work and discover that their jobs have gone. The United Nations recently estimated that half of the world's jobs will disappear because of the lockdowns. People who find themselves unemployed this autumn will probably never work again, ever. I wonder whether people will be angry when they realise just how much damage is going to affect their lives. Economists and commentators say the recovery will be quick. It won't be. This isn't a temporary inconvenience. The coronavirus fraud is going to lead to permanent changes in every aspect of our society, from jobs to healthcare and from pensions to education. And those changes are being made cold-bloodedly and deliberately and globally. Millions of people are going to die in the next year because their illnesses weren't treated because of the lockdowns. Healthcare is going to change dramatically, but not for the better. GPs now seem too lazy or too afraid to see patients. Instead, care assistants with modest training see patients in tents or on the pavement or in the car park. You can have a tattoo, which involves a stranger piercing your skin with a needle, but if you do agree to a vaccination, it'll be done on the pavement because it's too dangerous to do it in the GP's surgery. Assessing patients on the pavement is apparently happening in America too. One patient who had suffered from hay fever and had visited a nearby town where there had been a few positive tests was refused treatment by a doctor, but offered a telephone conversation with a physician assistant. Some doctors are, it seems, too lazy to offer even telephone consultations. It must be a relief to them that the golf courses are now open. You can go into a pub, but you can't go into an AA meeting because that would be too dangerous. Education will soon be done exclusively on the internet, using the excuse that it's too dangerous for children to go to school and sit together in classrooms. No one in government seems to care a damn about the evidence that letting children go to school is probably safer than keeping them at home, as long as you forget about the unnecessary social distancing and the mask-wearing nonsense. Surely even the most unimaginative must soon be able to discern patterns with a purpose. It isn't difficult to see that this is all part of a global plan, Agenda 21 to give it its name. Most of the people who've died of COVID-19 have been over 80 with at least two or three other serious health problems, and many lived in care homes where they were murdered. If old people had been murdered in care homes in one country, then that might have been a result of incompetence. But when exactly the same mistake is made in just about every country in the world, then it becomes clear that the deaths are a result of official policy. It's now allegedly routine to put do not resuscitate notices on everyone over the age of 60. In Scotland, it's rumoured that the cut-off age is 45. No one's denying it. And DNR notices are routinely put on all those with mental illness or physical disabilities, whatever their age. That is the default position. The elderly and the frail and the disabled must be eliminated. It's part of the Agenda 21 plan, the move towards a community-based world where the individual must be subservient to the needs of the greater good. Nothing will ever be the same again. Savers and investors face a dark and dismal future. One bank with which I have an account recently told me that my balance earns interest at a rate of 0.00001%, and I consider myself lucky that the interest hasn't yet gone negative. None of this is accidental. It's all deliberate. I'm told that there are still thousands of people who get their news from the BBC. How can this be? If the BBC ever published an honest fact, then the whole Bent organisation would go into meltdown and have to issue an immediate retraction and apology.
We are terribly sorry about the fact that we broadcast a fact the other day. It was a mistake and won't happen again.
Sadly, the BBC isn't the only untrustworthy news organisation. It's for some time now been the case that magazines, newspapers and broadcasters have been beholden to advertisers. This wasn't always the case. I can remember when editors would fly into a rage if an advertiser or advertising director tried to influence a publication's editorial content or policy. But as circulations fell, the balance of power moved from readers to advertisers, and for some time now, publications have done little but publish press releases. The sacking of experienced journalists to save money and replacing them with naive, dishonourable youngsters has helped the decline. Today, mainstream media are supine. They promote the governmental hysteria, apparently without embarrassment. They use the word pandemic as though it were an accurate appraisal of the situation. Occasionally, however, there are some bright spots of hope, and I think the pressure from the resistance movement may be having an effect. The usually rather untrustworthy, in my opinion, Times newspaper in London recently ran a headline which read, "Flu and pneumonia killed five times more than COVID last month." Very true, but nice to see it in print. In 2019, the World Health Organization studied influenza pandemics and came to the conclusion that contact tracing is not useful from an epidemiological point of view, and I quote, "is not recommended in any circumstances." Talking of flu, by the way, scientists still don't know if having the flu vaccine makes people more likely to develop COVID-19. Come to think of it, maybe that's why there's such enthusiasm about giving the flu vaccine to as many people as possible this autumn. Despite this, governments around the world, most of which were claiming to take their lead from the Bill Gates-funded organisation, introduced track and trace systems, largely using a system devised by Google and Apple. The Google and Apple nonsense was pumped into 3 billion mobile phones and was apparently designed to record and store all contacts, not just those medically relevant. A German IT expert described tracking apps as a Trojan horse, and I think we all know what he meant. And I'll just remind you that the World Health Organization has condemned contact tracing as not recommended in any circumstances. Never before has science been dismissed with such a cavalier attitude. It's clear that our mobile phones are due to play an ever-increasing part in our lives. In 2011, just 3.5% of payments in China were made with mobile phones. Today, 85% of payments are made with mobile phones. And it's a very small step from a mobile phone which runs your life to a far more convenient chip placed under the skin in your arm. It's hardly surprising that the boss of Microsoft has boasted that we've seen 2 years' worth of digital transformation in 2 months. Bill Gates, incidentally, has been funding the development of micro-implants to give multiple doses of a vaccine or drug over an extended period. Using a temperature gun, commonplace now, is about as useful as asking someone their astrological sign and then isolating all those born under the fishes or the scales. But temperature guns are seen everywhere. Back on the 23rd of April, Neil Ferguson, the Oliver Hardy of mathematics but without the charm or lovability, was reported as saying that a second wave, worse than the first, was virtually certain to happen. Politicians seemed desperate for him to be proved right. If he's proved right, it'll possibly be a first. We've for years been living under the eye of Big Brother, but soon Big Brother will be inside us, controlling us. Transhumanism plans will develop further. Mobile phones will be replaced by obligatory under-the-skin controls. The people who happily give all their personal details to phone apps will no doubt be eager to have a chip under their skin. Millions innocently accepted smart meters for their electricity supplies because they believed what they were told. Anyone who was suckered into accepting a smart meter should now demand that it's taken out of their home. Just as the authorities can use a smart meter to turn off your electricity, so they'll switch off your access to money or food or work simply by controlling the chip under your skin. And then there'll be accidents that will occur and probably result in millions of deaths. And the hackers, don't forget the hackers. Talking of deaths, I see that in Ireland there have, in recent months, been fewer total deaths than in any of the previous 3 years. I suspect that will change both there and elsewhere in the autumn. The deaths caused by the lockdowns will start mounting. When thousands start to die of treatable cancer and heart disease, there will, I suspect, be a little more anger among those who are still naive enough and ill-informed enough to believe that COVID-19 is a serious pandemic. Hundreds of thousands of extra deaths are going to mar nations for months, if not years, all avoidable, all caused by the lockdowns and all predicted from this chair months ago. Hundreds of crooked politicians and advisers will doubtless try to persuade us that the deaths have been caused by the coronavirus. They'll only be able to get away with this if doctors continue to falsify death certificates. Unless we stop this nonsense quickly, it's all going to get worse. They're pushing us to see how far they can go. What will they try next? Wearing masks in the street, in offices, in schools and at home, wearing goggles and gloves perhaps. I now find it impossible to imagine an insult they wouldn't regard as appropriate. They closed the dentist for months and there's still no effective healthcare for millions. Most people are quite rightly now terrified of seeing a doctor or going into hospital. I find it difficult to believe it's happening, but it is, and there's no point in sticking our heads in the sand under the blanket or anywhere else. I'm glad to see more and more protests around the world, mostly ignored or demonised by the mainstream media. In the UK, Piers Corbyn and Stand Up X are brilliant. Piers Corbyn, clearly a gentle man, has been arrested 45 times for standing up for our freedom. He's been arrested for the modern crime of telling the truth. Actually, by now, he's probably been arrested 46 times. 47 times. Who knows? The police should give him a season ticket. The new normal, as they call it, is nothing more than the new world order. The global reset, so beloved by fascist extremists and wicked hypocrites, such as the utterly appalling Prince Charles. What a bloody family that turned out to be. They're like something out of a bad soap opera. They, like the BBC, should be defunded. The BBC doesn't deserve public money and the royals don't need it. The internet has, despite all the bans and shutdowns and the activities of the state finance trolls, been a revelation and our only hope of salvation. Listen to the Richie Allen radio show and watch, among others, UK Column, Amazing Polly, Dr. Judy Mikovits, Ice Age Farmer and the Corbett Report. When all this is over, every political leader who's put citizens under house arrest and maintained the evil myth of this pandemic must be tried for treason. We'll try them before hanging, drawing and quartering them, because that's the way civilised people do things. Remember, decisions are made by those who speak up. And what's the point of a life if you sell your soul for a little peace and quiet? Share this video quickly because it contains lots of truths. YouTube quickly took down my recent video entitled Forbidden Truths, presumably because it contained truths which are forbidden. Naturally, in this Kafkaesque world, they didn't explain what my crime was. I appealed against their decision, and they looked at it again. The video was about 20 minutes long, and about 3 minutes after I'd appealed, they wrote back to say that they'd watched all 20 minutes and decided I'd violated their secret policies, which they won't tell me. I suppose they use the word violated as it sounds bad. Memo to YouTube: if you want people to follow your rules, it would be a good idea to tell them in detail precisely what the rules are. We wouldn't necessarily take any notice, but it would be good to know. YouTube has also now recently taken down and banned my video entitled "Coronavirus: Mental Health Problems Will Now Soar," which was published in May and in which I predicted that government policies would result in an increase in anxiety and depression. Figures just published confirm that the prediction was sadly accurate. The transcript of the video is as always available on my website. I don't know whether the video was taken down because I predicted what would happen or because it's now happened. It's also sad. Thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair, and thank you for all your support and encouragement. It would help enormously if you'd press the thumbs up button and, if possible, leave a small comment. We haven't monetized this channel, and there are no advertisements and no sponsors, nor will there ever be. Clicking the thumbs up button simply helps to keep the video and the channel visible so that as many people as possible can find them. Videos will be released on Sundays and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. UK time. Please copy and share the videos as quickly as you can on Facebook, Twitter, BitChute and any other platforms. Let's spread the truth. If you'd like to put on a translation, that would be great. If my videos disappear, which they're doing regularly, please go to vernoncolman.com, where you can find transcripts, including transcripts of all the banned videos. There are many other articles too, and the website has no advertisements and no sponsors. If you'd like to see more videos from me, then please subscribe to the channel, because the videos aren't always easy to find. If you visit mainstream media, please put on messages asking readers to watch these videos to find the truth. Although it may feel like it at times, always remember that you're not alone. More and more people are waking up, and a lot of people are getting very angry. We will win this war. Distrust the government, avoid mass media, and fight the lies. Thanks for watching An Old Man in a Chair.